it's a great way for them to kind of like manage each other, because to be honest with you, there's only a certain amount of timeouts in a game, and there's times that they have to do it on the court themselves.
Welcome to Hoop Nerds with Billy Kegler, presented by the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association. We talk to coaches, athletes, and more to learn from their stories and apply learning lessons to improve each individual and stimulate growth for your program, team, staff, and self. Follow along as we explore success and failure en route to improving the game of basketball.
Coach Recklitz, welcome to the Hoop Nerds.
Super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have this conversation, and I want to hit the rewind button and go back in time. Tell me about the first time that you coached something, anything, and a memory that sticks with you from it.
First time I coached something, I was actually in high school, and I helped out with a youth team of our AAU club at the time. And what sticks out to me the most is it gave me a lot of perspective, because it was just coaching and having this like thought process as a player. I always felt like I knew that I was right. And then to be one chair over, sit that next chair over, it really gave me a lot of perspective not to always question my coaches, that usually they knew a lot more than I did.
Do you share that story with players you have now that maybe you don't see eye to eye with on certain topics?
Yes, in a different way, but absolutely. We have conversations. I always tell them, I'm a lot like you. I had to learn to say, okay, and move on, instead of just always like asking questions or questioning the authority. It's a competitive nature. I never take it personal when somebody does it. I think because I've been that person, it's because they want to compete and that they're so driven.
Okay, you hit a buzzword for me. When you're competing, whether it's with checkers or in your games now, are you driven by the fear of losing or the joy of winning that competition?
I hate to lose and love to win. So I definitely would have to say it's more about the losing for me. I used to cheat in cards and Scrabble. I mean, we used to play games as a family. And if it didn't end in my brother getting into a wrestling match, then it wasn't a legitimate game that we were playing, because it was so intense in our household.
So when you have a player that's opposite of your mindset now, what tools do you use to connect with them?
That's a really good question. And this is one of the reasons I love being a college coach, is I kind of get to know these players through the recruiting processes and get to kind of really see what makes them tick, you know, see where their drive comes from. You know, everybody has a why, you know, like, why do I coach or why do they play? Once you can tap into that why for a player, then usually they'll run through a wall for you.
Let's think about the span of your coaching career. What's something that you believed early in your career that you've now changed because you were presented with new information or learned something new that a light bulb went on for you?
Yeah, that's actually a really good one. When I first became a head coach at Milwaukee, I had a very different team than we have now. The coach that was there before me, Sandy Botham, she's a legend, but she recruited a different type of player, and I needed a little bit different from them. And so I always felt like I could help change them, that I could put them in a position of like, you know, learning a new culture and wanting to buy in. And then I realized you can't really change people who don't want to change. And that was really hard for me, because I wanted to give everybody a chance and everybody an opportunity. And it made it very difficult the first couple of years there. And then, you know, we were able to recruit and stuff, but I did learn along the way that you really just, they have to want it and they have to want to buy in order for that change to occur.
With understanding their wants and what will make them buy in, I'm curious, in the recruiting process, if you could only ask them one question, what's the one question that you would ask the recruit so you understand that they're a good fit for what you're looking for?
Yeah, to be honest with you, my question would have nothing to do with basketball, probably. I think, you know, so much of our job is, you know, non-basketball. It's about, you know, being able to connect that player. So I would ask them, what is the one thing that they've probably learned from their parents that they feel like they use in their everyday life? I really think the relationship between parents and players, or their daughters and sons, are much like how a coach and player relationship is going to be like. So I like hearing them talk about their parents. I like hearing that family side of things, because when there's good connections there, and again, not every, you know, I came from a broken home, so I completely understand that there's not always parents, but if there's that level of respect for parents and that they kind of instill the value system that their parents had given them, then I usually believe that they're going to be really, they're going to at least try. Not going to always be perfect, but they're going to at least try to do the right thing.
The shameless plug time. I spent a little time with Latrell Fleming, who's now a butler. And I want to know from you how you go about determining who's going to be in your program to help you succeed and what things you use to identify what's going to help them ultimately make you and your program successful.
That's a great question. Latrell's my guy, though. He's a great guy, so I'll give him a shout out as well. I'm really looking for people who are, I don't know what the right word is, but like, you know, people, like that they really can like relate to different backgrounds, experiences. It doesn't, for me, you don't have to have coached to the highest level, or to me, it's not about necessarily your winning percentage that you're bringing in. It's, can you connect? Can you build relationships? And are you willing to be a servant leader? You know, our culture is very much based around servant leadership. You'll see my associate head coach in sweeping the gym before practice. You know, you'll see me getting the balls out. And then our managers are running up to me like, "Coach, you don't have to do that." And I'm like, I know I don't have to. I want to. You know, everybody in our program gives to one another. I mean, there hasn't been an assistant or, you know, a support staff member move to Milwaukee where we haven't been the moving crew, where we're not out there unloading the U-Hauls and the trucks. And so I probably look for those intangibles more, because I really think, you know, I can teach, like I can help you get to where you need to go as long as you have the drive, the passion, and really kind of that servant leadership and where you want to be around people, good people.
As many listeners know, I spent over 6 years as a general manager at Just the Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. I was able to spend time talking hoops with coaches like Tom Izzo, along with high school and youth coaches, in addition to meeting some basketball legends, including my childhood favorite, Sam Elke, who is in the WBCA Hall of Fame and High School Basketball Museum, located at Just the Game Fieldhouse, which is a must visit for any true hoop nerd. They also play host to the WBCA All-Star Games and Coaches Clinic every year. Just the Game hosts over 70 basketball and volleyball tournaments annually and is a great place to play for teams of all ages and ability levels. You can't beat all Wisconsin Dells has to offer in your free time. The Fieldhouse also has two sister companies in Just the Game Impressions and Just the Game Live. Just the Game Impressions specializes in customized screen printing and embroidery and promotional products. They serve businesses, schools, sports teams, and more. Just the Game Live takes pride in providing affordable and simple live streaming solutions for venues or programs of all kinds. Inquire today for more information. For more info on everything Just the Game has to offer, check them out at justthegamefieldhouse.com. Moving to the student athlete side of things, what would be the first or most crucial identifier that you need to see in a person to know that they're going to fit that mold?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's getting out in the gyms and watching them. You know, are they staying after and helping pick up, you know, trash that's left on the bench? Are they, when they're out of the game, we actually call it benergy, bench energy. You know, if they're not playing well, and let's say they missed a couple shots and they get subbed out, are they on the bench pouting, or are they giving energy to their team? Are they like giving that really good benergy on the sideline waiting for their next opportunity? Those are things that we look for as much as we look for, can you put the ball in the hoop? Can you dribble? Can you rebound? Can you defend? When we do our evaluation sheets, I tend to see us talk a lot more about that side of the game, than actually the basketball side.
How do you coach Benergy with your team so you can ensure that the Benergy is at the level that you want it to be at?
How long is this podcast? Yeah, no, just kidding. This is our culture. Actually, when we give the awards at the end of the year, our second highest award is our Benergy Award. Our top award goes to our hard right person, not necessarily our MVP, but the person who's constantly trying to do the right thing. But our Benergy Award is at the top. We give an award every day in practice for it, from the day before. So we have like a practice circle. Everybody is welcome. Anybody who wants to come to our practices, shoot me an email. Our practices are always open, for coaches, but, yeah, we go around the circle. Everybody hits hands when you win an award, and our Benergy is a big one. And then we do drills. We do Benergy drills. Like the team that has the most Benergy at the end of the drill gets a bonus 3 points. So conceivably, you could lose the drill in a point situation, but win it if you have the most Benergy. We do challenge of energy drills. It's really, really fun to be in our practices. A lot of chest bumping, a lot of high fives, and then some goofiness as well.
With the circle you referenced, can you elaborate a bit for me? Because I'm not quite envisioning what you're talking about.
Absolutely. So at the beginning of our practice and the end of every practice, we always circle in the middle and we toe up to the line. Everybody is equal is what we call it. And so everybody's toes are on the line. Usually people's hands are around each other. I mean, we're very close, knit group. And then we kind of go through kind of our practice awards. We have the Santa Award, which is whoever dished out the most assists the day before, you know, giving out presents. When we call that person's name, so if we said, you know, Megan won the Santa Award, everybody goes crazy. And then she steps in the middle and goes around and high fives every single one of her teammates and coaches and then gets back to her spot. So she literally goes in a circle and high fives. And then we give the Benergy Award. We have our players. It took a minute for our players to get this, but we actually have a Chevy offensive award and a Chevy defensive award because the old school Chevy commercial was like a rock. So it's like our most dependable offense and defensive player. And then we have an in your shorts award for like pressure, steals, deflections. So everybody like, you know, get us an award and it's not like a participation trophy. It literally has to be earned. And some days it's the same person over and over and over again. And that just gives them confidence coming into that next practice, something to try to earn, you know?
Is that a physical award that they are given or is that in spirit only?
It's in spirit until the end of the season. During the season, we will, for games, we have different colored jerseys, like practice jerseys that we give out after we've given the awards for games. But no, now it's just more of just like a hype. We're hype men for them. You know, we get super pumped for them for doing such a great job the day before.
Inevitably, somebody's going to have a bad day. So what course of action are you taking to try to right that ship for them?
Culture that we have now. Our team usually checks each other in it. They notice it firsthand and starts checking each other. We actually have a really solid leadership team. We have the past few years even, but this year is really special, I think. And so they can usually tell when the energy level's dropping, or they can usually tell when I'm getting to that boiling point, like if we've turned the ball over too much, and they will actually call a regroup. And what the regroup is the regroup is no coaches allowed in the circle. So it's just the team. So they'll say regroup. And I usually allow them at least three, maximum of three a practice. They know they can't really get many more than that. But they can call a regroup in the middle of a drill. They'll get about a minute, like it's almost like a full timeout, to come together and talk it out as a group and kind of like recheck themselves without the coaches being involved. Usually our coaching staff has our own regroup at the same time. So sometimes when I want them to have a regroup, I'll say, regroup coaches, and then they'll come together and it forces the team together. But it's a great way for them to kind of like manage each other, because to be honest with you, there's only a certain amount of timeouts in a game, and there's times that they have to do it on the court themselves.
You walked me right into this. How does a regroup manifest itself naturally within a game?
Yeah, so it's a lot of times at the free throw lines or dead ball situations, you know, if the officials are talking at the table. There's always these dead times in games where they can come together. And we actually will take the video from the games and break those parts down. We don't just skip over those. So how tight was our huddle? Was everybody's hands around each other? We do a lot of that kind of stuff because no matter like win or lose, we're all on it together. And so we also teach like our leadership team, they stand in timeouts. They stand actually with the coaches in the front instead of standing behind. And like full timeouts, because we want their voices heard. We want them to be, in essence, like if we're talking as a staff, they should be talking to the team and really helping them get their energy right and making sure that we're not like dwelling on past mistakes.
I love all of those things, and we could talk forever, but I'm going to get you out of here on a non-basketball related question.
I like it.
If you open a refrigerator and you look inside of that refrigerator, what one item inside of that refrigerator best identifies with who you are as a person and why?
Oh, geez. What would represent me? Okay. I this is actually pretty easy. Pickles would represent me. For one, I love them, so they're always in my refrigerator. but for two, they have this, like, you know, kind of like you can get the, like, different types of pickles. And I feel like at times I can exude many different types of personalities in a positive way, obviously. But you always have that kick with a pickle. You know, he's got that like burst and I'm always bringing the energy. So
what's your favorite pickle flavor?
Oh, definitely dill all the way. Kosher dill, the crispiness, flavor. Yeah, that's gold.
Coach, I love it. Thanks for coming on Hoop Nerds and best of luck this season.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. I've been associated with their products for a few years now, and I'm really impressed by their innovative and user-friendly shooting machines. They also are great people with tremendous customer service. It's no wonder why they have become the preferred choice among top programs around the country and world. I am very grateful for their support of the show. Make sure to check them out at drdishbasketball.com and at drdishbball on social media. Be sure to mention WBCA when ordering your next Dr. Dish to save an extra $300 off any commercial purchase.